Thank you, Marcia. That was the entire 14th chapter of Exodus. And it is the passages that we'll be drawing from for this new series, No Turning Back. It is the story of God and Moses and Israel. It's a story of desert and confusion. It's a story where God has deliverance in the plans for his people. And God has deliverance in our plans. And he has a plan and a future and a hope for us. And so we seek to join in with how this passage speaks to us today. I don't know if any of you have ever felt between a rock and a hard place. Does anybody feel like they're between a rock and a hard place today? This is where this passage speaks powerfully. In those moments of uncertainty, unknown, in the moments of reasons that we human beings worry and fear, these are the kind of moments that God speaks and God delivers his people. We do want to be mindful today of those on the Carolina coast that have been battered and by the storm and by the rain and the devastation. We want to always remember those that have been in harm's way and those churches that may not have been able to have worship today. Be mindful of those churches. So let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his direction to be upon our ears and hearts today and also be with the people in the Carolinas. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We recognize that it is greater than circumstances. It is greater than our doubts, our worries, and our fears. We pray for the people in the Carolinas that they might know your hope in such a troubled and disconcerting time. Protect them and watch over their recovery time in the days ahead. Bless all that are in the path of this storm and the consequences of the storm. And now lead us to open our hearts and minds as we hear how this word of Moses and Israel and being in the midst of the wilderness and in confusion, how this passage of your victory speaks to us. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Apollo 12 was a mission that is not as well known as some of the other missions. But Alan Bean was one of the astronauts on Apollo 12, and he passed away this year. And one of his stories about Apollo 12 is riveting. 30 seconds or so after takeoff, lightning hit the space capsule. And all of a sudden, all of these buttons, all of these computers and lights that were so necessary for them began flickering and sending confusing and chaotic. It was just chaos. All of their systems were just blinking. But it was in such a moment that they remembered their training. Their training was, as long as we're flying and as long as we're heading in the right direction, things are going to be okay. And 30 seconds later or so, everything returned to normal, and it was a successful mission. But I wonder, when those kind of circumstances happen to us, when chaos comes, confusion, wilderness, are we the type to just start pushing buttons, trying to make everything all right, or do we trust the Lord that he's got the overall journey? This series is going to challenge us in different ways than the Deeds of Shalom. That challenges us in one way. This series is going to challenge our movement. You know, it seems that we have three basic directions we can move in our spiritual life. We even have three directions we can move as a church. One of those directions is what Israel wanted to do when they got out in the wilderness and they started experiencing all of these consequences of being in this land of confusion with Pharaoh chasing, his army chasing behind them and the sea in front of them. They had choices, and we have choices. We can go backwards. We can choose to go back to Egypt, so to speak, to what we know. Backwards is something that some of us live in regret, and we're just thinking about, wow, I wish I could go back and live in the past. But that's not possible. So part of the challenge of this series is to, if this is speaking to us because we've been trying to go backwards, is to not go backwards anymore, because just like Israel was delivered from Egypt, and even though they were in the wilderness and confusion, the Lord had a plan for them. There's another status that we can have, and this is stuck, where we're not going backwards and we're not going forward, so we're just stuck. We may have the confusion reigning over us. We may have our fears getting the best of us and our worries. Someone has said that when we worry too much, some worries are good. They protect us. They keep us out of trouble. But some worries are a form of functional atheism. When we do not trust the Lord with our movement in our life, and we say we're Christians, we say we're disciples, then basically if we worry all the time, we're like a functional atheist. We're not atheists, but we're functioning like we're atheists. We just don't trust the Lord with the big picture. When it gets tough, we don't trust the Lord. Obviously, there's one direction that needs our attention. That's the direction forward. And that's where this series is really going to challenge us to go forward. Go forward as a church. Go forward in our own spiritual life. Not have a longing to go back to Egypt. Not to get stuck and just stay stuck in our worries and fears, but to move forward to where God is seeking to work in our lives. And all of us have a forward. We all have a forward gear. We don't have to be in neutral anymore. We certainly do not want to go in reverse. We all have that forward gear. We can do it with the Lord's help. And the Lord wants to move us forward. Now, the story of Israel is one of the most riveting stories in the Bible. You know, you remember that Moses was rescued out of the Nile. He was raised an Egyptian. He had all the amenities and trappings of royalty, but he saw a Hebrew man getting mistreated and he lost his temper and he killed the man, and then he had to flee. And when he fled, he eventually became a shepherd in a quiet setting, married Jethro's daughter. And the Lord called him out of a burning bush to deliver Israel out of Egypt. The Lord saying, I've heard the cries of your people, and I've come to deliver. And you're going to be the person that goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. Moses didn't want to do it. God pointed to Aaron, his brother, said, he can be a spokesperson for you. And so plague after plague started happening. Moses pleaded with Pharaoh to let his people go. Plague after plague after plague until Pharaoh relented. And Pharaoh, of course, did not want to relent. He let the people go. But when they had wandered into the desert, Pharaoh saw another opportunity to seize back his labor force that he was missing. They were in confusion in the desert. And isn't it interesting that the Lord created this atmosphere of confusion for a higher purpose, so that his glory could be known in a greater way through the parting of the Red Sea? But Israel didn't know that. Israel didn't know that God had a plan and that there was no need to worry or be afraid of the future. And that's why Moses said to the people, from the Lord, you only need to do these things. Do not be afraid. Be still. Go forward. Go forward trusting the Lord into this future that you can't see quite yet, but I'm calling you forward. Do not be afraid. Be still. Go forward. That's a powerful word for us today. Now, the book we're drawing from this series is a wonderful book. It's called The Red Sea Rules, and it is by Robert Morgan. And there's about 10 of these rules, and we're going to be lifting up some of these each week. I'm going to lift up 3 of these rules today. Now, these rules are what we need to remember when we go through an unsettling time, a confusing time, a difficult time. These are rules that work for Moses and Israel, and they'll work for us today. The first rule is one that speaks to all of us. Realize that God means for you to be right where you are. How many of us, even today, have thought about, I wish I were somewhere else. I wish I had another job. I wish I didn't have to deal with the things I'm dealing with. I wonder if I'm just in the wrong place with the wrong people. How many of us have thought something like that this week? Well, the Red Sea rule number one is, God wants you right where you are right now. I believe God wants the people here at 9:30 to be here right now. This was not just something by chance that we're here today. God wants you to be a part of this church. He wants the pastors that are here to be at this church. That there's something God has in mind with what's going on right now that he's giving his blessing to. And some of you are thinking, well, I've made a lot of silly mistakes in my life. What about my bad choices? What about my sins? Does God want me to be there? Well, the news is, God can use you even there. And God wants to meet you right where you are. So God, look at yourself. Look at your neighbor worshiping with you this morning. Say, God wants you to be here. God wants you to be right where you are. And he's going to use you right where you are. That's one of the Red Sea rules. The second Red Sea rule that I'll introduce today is, when be more concerned about God's glory than our own comfort. Be concerned about God's glory than our own comfort. When we go through a tough time, when we go through a trial like Israel did in the desert, it's very easy to just want to go back to Egypt and just get out of the situation. But have we ever thought about that instead of trying to get out of the situation, that's the very place God wants us to be, and our main objective in such a time is to give God glory for what he's doing? The singing today earlier in the service was tremendous, wasn't it? And we were singing about giving God glory in those times that are sometimes confusing for us, sometimes trying for us, challenging for us. The unknown is very challenging. And in such times, we're to give God glory. So if we're going through a difficult time, a struggle, if we've been saying, you know, I wish I were somewhere else, I wish I was doing something else, take another look at that. You are right where God wants you to be. How can we give God glory in those circumstances? When we praise God in the midst of those circumstances, it'll change the way we look at them. God wants us to be where we are, Red Sea Rule 1. We are to give glory to God in those circumstances, though we're uncomfortable, Red Sea Rule number 2. Red Sea Rule number 3 is acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Now, Pharaoh was the enemy to Israel, and he came pursuing Israel. He brought a mighty army to pursue Israel. And so on the one side, they had the Red Sea facing them. On the other side, they had Pharaoh's army chasing them. They were not far apart. And so Israel, they started saying things like, why didn't you just let us die in Egypt? At least we had a grave there. But it's in such moments, in the midst of the struggle, the difficulty, that we must keep our eyes on the Lord. Acknowledge there's a devil that wants to wreck everything. And we're not here today to say that there is no devil. But what we are here to proclaim is the power of God is always greater than the devil. And God will always prevail over Satan. It's only when we take our eyes off the Lord that this is ever in doubt. So the challenge is to keep our head up and to keep our eyes on the Lord. To keep our eyes on the Lord and His teachings, especially in the unknown, especially in the trials, especially when we're between a rock and a hard place. Keep your eyes on the Lord. There is an enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. I mentioned that when we worry about everything and we don't trust the Lord, that that is a functional type of atheism. Let me share something else today. That some of us have spiritual amnesia. And let me just introduce that to you, that concept. Spiritual amnesia. We tend to go to Bible studies. We tend to read our Bible. We tend to pray. But when we get into this land between the Red Sea and an evil one pursuing us, we forget to apply those principles that we're learning about. We begin responding as a human being, and that takes our eyes off the Lord and gives way too much credit to the evil one. Let me illustrate. You have noticed over the years that I do my sermons without notes, and you notice that I can do that. I've learned how to do that. But what I need to share with you is there are other places in my life I don't remember things very well at all. Like, I can't remember where I put my cell phone. I'll be in a hurry to go somewhere and I can't find my cell phone. It's either in one or two places, and if it's not there, I'm very confused. In fact, sometimes I outthink myself. I put my phone somewhere where I think I'll be sure to be able to find it easily, and then I'll forget where that place is. Now, after I shared this at 8 o'clock, everybody started reminding me, well, you know there's devices that'll help you find your phone. I know that, but the trouble is, I have to go looking for those devices too. You know, you can get over losing your cell phone, but what you cannot get over is forgetting to apply God's principles when you're in the wilderness. Forgetting to apply God's principles when you're facing a challenge. It's almost like spiritual amnesia. These teachings help us. And so if you are between a rock and a hard place today, God wants to meet us with his teachings. You're right where he wants you to be. You don't have to do anything different, but other than just recognize God's power in your present circumstances. God is able to be glorified in all circumstances. And something happens when we glorify God in the midst of difficult circumstances. We're just lifted up. And thirdly, there is an enemy, but we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's remember to keep our eyes on the Lord. We don't want to go backwards. We don't want to get stuck. We want to move forward, trusting God.